What's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William, the Opinion Update.
And I am positive Chuck Mockler.
We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network.
Woo.
Coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers news. And boy.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of news.
We got kind of a nail biter coming up, maybe.
Charles is very nervously referring to the upcoming matchup against the Blazers,
mm-hmm.
which you're going to want to stay tuned to tonight, Tuesday night,
oh.
if you're listening. Yeah, we're going to get into what we need to do well as, of course, what could go wrong. Looking at some key matchups. And then it's Tuesday. We do it every single week. It's Twitter Tuesday, where we take your questions from Twitter. That's at Locked On Clips. You can always get at us at Will Updike, at Charles Mockler.
We're there.
we got some great ones today. Thank you, everybody, who sent those in. Love to hear from you guys. Don't forget to send yours in for a chance to get featured on the show. And anything else we got? We got any shavings today?
Nothing really in shavings. We're going to talk about the Mellow Player of the Week thing.
We're going to talk, about that. Are going to be interspersed throughout the whole thing.
Just like shavings usually are. So, we got a game against the Trailblazers on Tuesday, the day that you are listening to this. Jermichael Green, questionable for this game.
He ain't playing.
I don't think he's playing either, and I honestly think that that is one of the people we absolutely need to play this game.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard because the first time we played the Blazers, it did come down to the wire, but Paul George didn't play.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I mean, obviously, I think Paul George addition is going to offset losing Jermichael Green a little bit. What do we need to do well in this game?
It'd be nice to see us put the screws on defensively while tightening up the fouls for me.
Bro, that's a big ass.
So looking at both of these teams, they're fifth in blocks in the league. We're tied for eighth with the Spurs, who have like the second worst defense in the league. So clearly not everything, but they are also 28th in personal fouls to our 29th, which is interesting because we're drawing almost as many fouls as we're committing. So it's a little bit of a net neutral.
Yeah, that's not... I had no idea about this stat until we first started recording, and it was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of a wash. So we're drawing that many fouls and dishing them out at that rate.
We've talked about this off and on a little bit. I think last night to me, I might have ranted about it a little bit in the recap. I forgive me if I'm repeating myself, but...
Hey, man, we just got back from Vegas. I don't think anyone's mad at it.
Some of the fouls were a little egregious. Some of...
Like, this team likes early fouls.
Some of the Pat Bev stuff on IT, one in particular, I just...
Didn't sit right.
I just like to see the screws tighten a little bit more. It's just not... It's not that it's not eager defense. It's just not what I would necessarily say is the most competent defense.
In control, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah, and we're not talking about the whole... You're not talking about the whole system. It's literally just like the hand checking and stuff.
Yeah. It's just getting a little overly aggressive on some things. And then, you know, we talked about it. I think that I can live with giving up 125 to the Wizards.
They've yeah.
been playing really solid yeah. offensively. Not going to be as forgiving of that against this Blazers team if, you know, we're seeing them score in the 115 range.
Yeah, if they can put a load of laundry in with however many points they put up, I'm not into it. Buck 25, that's a load of laundry.
Yeah, I was going to say buck 15. I don't know where you're going.
Buck 15, I wish.
You got to get dimes out?
Yeah. Well, they don't give change. You can put quarters in, but they just don't give change. So we got to hit the boards. We won, I guess, kind of narrowly. I don't know if six boards is narrow, but we won boards last time, 57-51. They're giving up 48.5 per game to opponents, which is second worst in the league.
Okay.
But if Jermichael misses... He was one of three guys in double digits for boards,
mm-hmm.
and we're playing against Hassan Whiteside, who absolutely kind of destroys us on the boards every time we play.
Yeah, makes
so
sense.
Paul George,
limited minutes.
Yeah, so Paul definitely. So Paul George is going to have to be kind of on his game, I think, to pick up that slack if Jermichael can't go.
Yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a good test to see to help Paul George get his sea legs under him a little bit more defensively, which... Offense has been very smooth. I mean,
we've been so spoiled by his offense. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's been truly incredible. So it'd be nice to see a little bit of a stride in the right direction.
We also need to get off threes. I don't think it's gonna go like it did last time. We shot 4 for 23.
Yeah.
Oh, you have another good thing in this three section that I like.
Yeah, is it too much to ask for another early offensive onslaught in a game?
Let's just come out firing.
Is it too much to ask? It would just be nice to maybe hit some shots early. It would just be nice to maybe...
Like he did last game.
Get into a rhythm a little early.
Yeah, and we're talking everybody. I mean, Paul George, another 15-point first quarter, not going to be mad at it.
Yeah, and Lou mentioned the offense was bound to go through some growing pains, which kind of brings me into my what could go wrong. With the injuries starting to pile up, how many more darn growing pains are we going to have to go through?
Yeah, man, there's a lot of... It's so hard because last year we were really spoiled with the health of our team.
Yeah.
Except for Luke and Bamute. So this year, yeah, it's just like we were talking about it on the commute here, how it was like, it's nice that we have this depth, but I would like to maybe not have to rely on it so much this early in the season. I hope, and that's the thing is like, to the Jermichael point, I hope he doesn't play.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. There's no way that I want him to miss any amount of close to the time that Shamit's going to miss. Even Magruder. We need Jermichael so bad on this team.
Yeah. I guess that just brings us into what could go wrong in that, like, I do think that Jermichael is a fundamental piece of that bench. And not having him there, definitely, like, it's huge on the spacing of that second unit. And if we're not able to get offense going...
I mean, if the Lutrez pick and roll isn't really working against the Blazers and our bench unit is in, it's going to be on, you know, Lou bailing us out.
Yep.
Or, like, that second... I mean, it's going to be... Patrick Patterson's going to be on that second unit. It's going to be Jerome, Lou, and then... any number of Kawhi and Paul George?
I mean, Terrence Mann...
So we got Jerome, Lou, Terrence Mann, Patrick Patterson, and Trez.
Yep.
That's not a confidence-inducing second unit.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. That's
if things aren't going well.
Offensively, I feel like, especially.
Yes. It's going to be interesting. That goddamn bathroom break might get us again.
Oh, yeah.
They are a top 10 third quarter scoring team, and last time put up 36 on us to make the game very close. In the last three games, we're averaging just 26 points in the third, while they're at 33. So that could come out to get us again. Mm-hmm. If we just come out slow from halftime, which just is a thing that this Clippers team does now, that might be, if we don't get off that hot offensive start, it could be kind of tough.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah. I don't know. I guess another thing that I could worry about, and this is not a fully existential one, but what could go wrong
is
just...
It's pretty close.
Can they keep the streak of heat?
I mean, they do have player of the century recently named by Slam Magazine, Carmelo Anthony, playing for them. They have three resounding wins against Chicago twice and the Oklahoma City Thunder, which is the Chicago of Oklahoma.
And previous to that, four losses, including one to Cleveland. A real mixed bag is all I can say. I guess one.
That's why this game is so goofy to me, because, like, what is going to happen?
Yeah. One quick shaving in this what could go wrong.
Yeah.
Is Melo working?
I think so.
It seems it.
It seems like that thing where you, like, maybe meet someone and you're kind of drunk and like, oh, that person might be like a cool friend to hang out with. And you're like, oh, yeah, let's kick it, whatever. And you hang out, like, the first two times, you're like, that was fun as hell. Dude, that guy is so hella fun. Like, whatever, whatever. And then, like, the fourth time you hang out, you're like, I do not ever want to hang out with this person ever again in my life. They might be at that breaking point. That could
right now.
No, that slide could start soon, I think.
I see.
Because what you're saying isn't...
Oh, I like it.
Isn't his PER like just below league average?
Yeah.
Which isn't the end all be all, obviously.
No, no. And it is a small sample size. And he is averaging, what, like 17, 6, and 2 or something.
It's just interesting.
It's interesting.
I don't know. All right, let's get into these key matchups. We know what this game hinges on, and that is Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. They average 49, 10, and 11. Last game, they combined for 44, 13, and 9. So really kind of a wash.
Yeah. One thing we do have going in our favor against this matchup is, like, these guys do both have to carry such a heavy burden for that team.
It's
right
like
now.
85% of their offense has to go through these two guys.
Absolutely. There's some absurd number of games. I think nearly half of the Blazers' wins have come in games where CJ McCollum has shot better than 50% from three.
Yeah, that's...
It seems a little unsustainable, I guess, is all I'm saying.
I would hope it's unsustainable against us. Who do you want to see guard CJ?
Nah, he's a little...
You want him on Dame? I think he has a psychological thing on Dame, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd put, I don't know, George on CJ.
Mo on Carmelo Anthony, Kawhi on Rodney Hood.
Yeah, I switch those around.
Yeah, we should put Kawhi on Carmelo. Yeah. That's a fairly easy matchup.
He's so strong.
I just don't know what Melo we're going to run into.
Yeah.
Which is what makes this hard. And I'm not saying it totally hinges on Melo at all.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can't shut down Dame and CJ, I'm going to have nightmares for the rest of my life if Melo has like an efficient 27 points against us.
You're going to have nightmares for the rest of your life?
Maybe not the rest of my life.
Hey, you got Melo living rent free.
Yeah. And he should pay me because he's made a lot of money career wise. No, I'm not even anti Melo. It would just be one of those classic Clippers things where it's like, oh,
got
that
you.
Guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because last time we played him, who was your boy?
Because then you're the butt of the joke.
Who was your boy that went off? Anthony Simmons went off against us last time.
Dude, let's not disrespect him.
I'm not, but it's one of those things where that guy could do it. We just kind of talked about this. PG
that
versus
guy?
PG versus Melo. Who guards PG?
Yeah.
On their team.
Dude.
Because if you're not guarding... So if Melo's going to have to guard one of... They're probably going to put him on Mo.
That would be my guess.
They can't realistically expect him to guard Kawhi and Paul George.
Although, Mo is a nightmare matchup for Carmelo.
They're all nightmare matchups. They're athletic wings.
Yeah.
Who care. So... That I guess that's not really a matchup for us. That's more just for, you know, hope any Blazers fans are listening, they could let us know. But that's going to be interesting. And then our bigs versus Whiteside.
Yeah.
It's going to be... He just puts up big numbers against us.
Yeah. Yeah, he's remarkably efficient. I don't know. Hopefully we see some good Zoom minutes in this one.
Because Doc talked about last time going at a guy like Whiteside is that you have to go at him.
That's a very good point.
To get him off his game. So yeah I really want to see whatever 13-minute stretch Zoo plays. I hope it's all aggressive minutes. And he's really going at Whiteside. Not that I think he won't. It'll just definitely be needed in this game.
It'll definitely be needed. And yeah, like getting him off early.
Whoa, talking basketball, man.
Yeah, getting Whiteside off his game early will definitely help that offensive rhythm kind of established that we talked about earlier. Just getting a little bit of speed, maybe getting in a transition every once in a while.
I'd be okay with that. What's your prediction for this game?
I think we might be in for a nail biter.
Do you think we get the dub again? Do you think this is a bad dealer's skinny dub, as I'm now calling close games?
Yes. It's a narrow dub.
It's a Midwestern dub.
It's, yes. It might have weighed a different amount earlier.
Oh, definitely.
But it's not
what
it
weighs. Depending on the moisture, yeah.
That's not what it weighs right now.
So what do you have score prediction-wise?
I'm going to go kind of boring, but I think we eke this one out. 115-105. No, 107. Okay. It's a little closer. It's closer.
115-107 for William the Opinion. I'm predicting...
But I mean close in that like we established this lead late. Sorry.
No, you're fine. Yeah. It's like it's not as close as the score is indicative.
Yeah, like yeah. I feel like that's not that close of a score margin necessarily.
I predict... I think the Clippers... I think we drop this one.
Okay.
And I really...
You got one reason? Or, I mean, you can have more than one, but...
I honestly don't know if I have any tangible things I can point to. It just feels like a game we might drop. Dame and CJ are mad after what happened last time, I'm assuming, and are going to want to come in and show what they can do again in our home court.
Yeah.
I hope we don't lose. I think it's going to be, but it's going to be low again. It's going to be like 112, 104.
All right, so we're pretty close. We're
close right there to the end.
7-8 points in that point differential.
Yeah, God, I hope I'm wrong. Coming up after this, we got some fantastic questions from Clipper Nation for Twitter Tuesdays.
All right, so it's Twitter Tuesday.
Welcome, welcome.
Francis Mark wonders if the team will have a full practice before the road trip. Portland Tuesday night. Bucks Friday.
One of those
Thursday
is
a, are open.
Dude, I don't think they will.
Wednesday, Thursday, optional.
I don't think they will. One of those is a travel day.
So, shoes optional practice.
Yeah, it's like a stretch and relax class in college. You can nap if you want. I don't think they practice. Not a full one. Not the day after the game on tomorrow. Excuse me, for those of you listening today.
Yeah, I mean, is it even possible to have a full practice given like what our roster is going through right now?
I don't know. I think he maybe meant intensity-wise.
Gotcha.
But even with that, I don't think so.
Intensity-wise, absolutely not. And in terms of a full practice, it's nobody's there.
It's like Trez said. These guys don't seem to need practice. That's my new stance. I'm just taking Trez's stance.
Yeah.
They seem to be practicing all right during games. Okay, so Chenny John asks, also shout out Chenny John. I think he's added a question on every single time we do Twitter Tuesday. Has a good all-around injury question. There was a bunch of injury questions on this. Which injury has impacted the Clippers the most in this first quarter of the season? Magruder, Shamet, Paul George, or Kawhi's load management from time to time? Great question.
Ooh, interesting. I mean, I have to go with Paul George just due to his overall effect on the offense.
I might actually go, if it turns into a lingering thing, Jermichael Green's. For the reason that you said he's so valuable in the last segment, his spacing on the second unit.
Oh, I didn't even know that. You didn't even say it.
That's why I said he wasn't on the list. Bro, I'm thinking 12 steps ahead.
Dang, dude.
But of these guys, I would say probably Paul George. You know, Kawhi's load management, I haven't even thought about that in a few days, and it's felt fantastic. But that's a thing that we just got to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has that big of an impact, and I mean this in a way that when everyone, you know, when Paul George is healthy, it doesn't have too crazy of an impact.
I was going to say, and why haven't you thought about it in the last little while? I think that says enough about, yeah. I mean, I think that kind of gives the answer as to like who,
the importance of it.
Yeah, the injury, who's impacted most. But Magruder, you know, only time will tell. Same thing. I mean, Shamet, I feel like
Shamet's could be lingering, which is what gets me.
I don't think Shamet has ever been healthy in this lineup.
Ooh, well, that actually goes into a great question from Andrew Ma. Let's get a Shamet update. When's he back? Was there anything official with his wrist? Mm-hmm. Jerome out of the rotation when he comes back? The Shamet thing, I think I agree. I don't think he's ever been 100% healthy. The wrist thing was like annoying.
Yep.
Because he clearly, I mean, he had a bandage on it for long enough to where it's like, dude, you're hurt. It's fine.
Yeah.
Talk about it more. There's no timeline for when he's back.
Nope.
The team, the staff says progressing.
Soon was that. I feel like the soon post was more than a week ago.
That was more than a week ago. Clippers PR did send the injury report out, but there was, you know, he was on it. When do you think we've seen him walk around the locker room? A little bit. Do we have any idea what the timeline could be?
Let's see. How many weeks are we in at this point? 2-3?
Something like that. Yeah.
I mean, 6 to 8 weeks.
More?
Total.
Oh, I was like, damn. Yeah, I hope it's just, I hope it's another month. That'd be around 4 weeks. So that'd be at 7?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's tough. And so is Jerome out of the rotation when he comes back? Gotta think so. Maybe not right at first, actually.
Depends. I mean, is Magruder also back in this scenario?
Yes.
Then yeah.
It's tough for Magruder because he's having to bounce back from his second kind of little knock injury of the year.
Yeah.
Which I hope he can do. I have no reason to believe that he can't. But, like, that's a tough go. Coming back from two injuries like that. Why Point God asks, how much we rely on Man and Jerome if Jermichael joins the injury report, which he has.
I mean, quite a bit. We go back to the 18-19 Clippers, three-guard kind of a...
situation.
And
hope that Jerome's confidence continues.
Yeah.
Because it has been great.
He looks more aggressive driving the ball. He looks much more comfortable shooting. He doesn't look lost as much on defense.
Yeah. Man's shooting is really the biggest thing on how successful this three-guard lineup's going to be.
Both of these guys shooting, really.
Yeah. I guess I more so mean the actual act of shooting for Man.
That's fair.
He's like
very hesitant to pull the trigger.
I would love to see him take and make a couple.
Yep.
Not all of them.
Yep.
Not even a third of them. But just have it in the defense's head that you're going to take a shot.
Yeah.
But Jerome's confidence has looked a lot better, which is great. Gray Don Square wants to know why Doc doesn't use the classic double horns play the Lob City team used to run. Says it seems fitting with Patterson and Green shooting so well. He also says he always loves the show. Hey, appreciate the listen.
Hey.
Thank you very much. I think it's just a continuity thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a continuity thing.
Because like the Lobs.
I like to see Moe kind of in this, but.
Oh. I like that. Because the Lobs are there.
Uh-huh.
Like, Trez can throw a lob down. Zoo, 99% sure he can throw a lob down.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's confidence in the oop-er.
Okay.
If that just isn't there yet, as we've heard a million times, they haven't really practiced very much together.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's maybe just a continuity thing.
Right?
Because it is like kind of a Doc long time.
Yeah. I think that it just makes things a little bit more crowded around the basket, and they're trying to open things up to let other guys get some action.
And with the way the teams have been playing us with Paul George and Kawhi are out there, it's just trap, trap, trap,
mm-hmm.
which doesn't really give us the opportunity to get into that thing. I feel like we'll see it at some point, though.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it more. I would like to see some more oops to Trez.
Yeah, one phone call.
What does that mean? I'm not sure that means anything. All right, we got at Drift to the Music floated a trade idea out.
Okay.
Although we're playing great. What would be our thoughts on a potential Ibaka acquisition at the deadline? Though Zoo has been playing great, he does get in foul trouble often. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps having Ibaka would provide maintained size while Harrell subs in for Zoo plus rebounding and three-point shooting. I like that in this scenario, we are not giving up Zoo for Ibaka.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how we get Ibaka.
I'm unclear how that works.
How do we get Ibaka?
Someone else is floating this out, too. I can't remember
We've
who
heard
it
Ibaka's
was.
Name tossed around a couple times.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, I think the fit is there. Like, I think he just plugs in great.
You think that he starts?
Any lineup, I think he's fine in.
Gotcha.
Obviously, except for the Trez minutes. So he might start in this scenario.
At the four.
I guess.
Or he starts over Zoo.
I think he starts over Zoo. I think we kind of take that mixture of your idea.
Yeah.
And you kind of have him as like that starting center role that Zoo is playing now and what Gortat played last season.
Hmm.
But that also gets weird. Because then we're losing somebody. Like, we're losing a piece of depth, I feel like, if we're trading for Ibaka.
Yeah, I don't know. With the injury report right now, I just, it's really hard for me to try to entertain.
To try to think about moves?
Any sort of roster moves. Theoretically, I like the fit. I guess I like it a little bit better on the second lineup, though, because he can space the floor a little bit next to Trez.
And that's a weird-ass lineup to guard.
Move Jamichael up to the starters when healthy, and have Mo play the three off the bench.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Interesting. I don't know.
We might see something go down. Coming back for this, we got a few more Twitter Tuesday questions. Okay. George Arce, A-R-C-E. Probably not how you pronounce it. First thing that came to my mind.
Sorry.
Wants to know, if there were a midseason tourney, would PG or Kawhi even play in it? Can't imagine they do.
PG would, yeah.
You think he would?
He's good. I think that he would.
I guess, yeah. Trez would be chomping at the bit. Trez would be like, let me play every single minute.
Yeah.
Kawhi, I don't even think, reads that email that the team sends him about a midseason tourney that benefits you. They were saying one of the ideas for the midseason tourney was that you would win like draft picks. Like there could be an idea that you would like get.
I mean, that's valuable. That's something.
Justin Russo pointed out a great thing though. Like, so say, like we talked about, the midseason tourney is great because like say a team that's maybe not going to compete for a championship can win like the League Cup or whatever. Why would a team Why would players on a team that were already probably going to get a draft pick, a high draft pick,
mm-hmm.
that would maybe replace some of those players, why would they play for an extra chance to maybe be replaced?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? It's like how in the MLB All-Star game that if you win it, that league gets home field advantage or whatever. Not all of those players are on that team. They're, you know, the like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I think the incentive thing, I don't think there should be any incentives other than, like, you get the cup. Like, this is yours.
Oh, that's kind of lame to me.
What else would it be, though? Cash? I mean, they do that in soccer. That might be actually kind of cool. $12 million?
What if it's second rounders?
Second round picks are valuable.
Yeah, a couple second round picks.
Couple second round picks? Yeah. Dude, I don't think a couple. No, I think you get maybe a second round pick 2 years down the line or something.
You get the 31st, 33rd, and 35th pick of the draft.
I don't know. That gives that team so many draft picks.
Yeah.
Then you have like a war chest of second round
picks. Second rounders.
That's worth something.
And you could trade those. Since you won them, you're not bound to the, like, you know, you could trade them in consecutive years. Well, I guess they're already spaced 1 year apart, but anyways. Yeah.
It's interesting.
If you gave up your own pick, you can still trade away that that purchase pick, or the one,
yeah,
the cup pick. Which
would
I
you
think
like,
makes things interesting.
What if the incentive was just cash?
That's lame.
A literal pile of cash.
Nah, that's lame.
Gold coins? Gold coins is cool. Gold bars. Bonds.
Okay.
It's a big stack of bonds. All right, last question from Ron Sol O. This one's directly at you.
What's up?
He wants you to let him know who owes Lou Will the biggest apology for being a hater.
Oh, I'm not naming names, man. Come on.
I thought you were going to throw some names out there.
I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I get it, man. We're fans. We get emotional. Everyone's allowed
to. In Lou's defense sometimes, like, I'll be scrolling through, sometimes Justin Russo posts fantastic clips with breakdowns and stuff like that. Every now and then I'll kind of go through a couple where I'm watching Lou's Will's defense and I'm like, oh man, yeah, okay. If you were having a bad day and you happen to see this clip, I could see it pissing you off pretty good. Because there's some times where you're just like, dude, I guess this is kind of an effort thing, but in the grand scheme of things.
And Lockdown Clippers is a safe space to say some wild shit sometimes. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Will talked about benching Zoo and Trez and just starting Jermichael. No one cut his head off.
It's fine. As long as, you know, there's no hate. And, like, let's not disparage these guys. Like, these guys.
I don't think anyone's disparaging him.
In the moment, I might have seen some things, but, you know, that's whatever.
If there's one thing I would love to see is the guy who's like, Lou Will doesn't play any defense. I want to see the Lou Will shows up at your dumbass LA Fitness and is like, try and score on me. Like, I won't even try and score because we know what would happen if I try and score on you. I will score every time. But, okay, yeah, try and score on me. And then Lou Will just, like, puts on a clinic.
Lou Will seems like a celebrity Jimmy Kimmel asked to come on to read me tweets and he just said, good. Good. Like, didn't even officially say like, no.
Meanwhile, realtor.com's like, put these cucumbers on your eyes. And he's like, no goddamn problem. A day of work? No sweat. We got anything else rolling around the shaming thing?
No, I think that's it. Tomorrow, what do we got from a recap?
We have a recap of the hopeful victory over the Blazers, a What You Say Wednesday poll discussion. Have yet to think about the topic yet.
Gotta have a good round.
Oh, if anyone ever has something they want to know what other fans feel about for the poll discussion, send it over.
Let us know.
Maybe a DM if it's really out there. We're going to be talking about whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland. And your boys are going to be contributing to Clipperholics.
That's right. Yeah, I have to do another article after we get done with this podcast. So
we got to write about some first quarter things happening for the Clippers. So be alert on that. We're going to try and have some of those fantastic contributors on at some point again during the
season. First quarter of the season, that is, not just first quarters of games.
Yeah, we're doing our favorite moments from the first quarter.
That would be an interesting macro blog.
Shout out to Brian Cullen for being on the pod. Yeah, here's to a win, you know?
Let's get it.
Let's go into this one strong. Thank you so much for listening. Check us out on iTunes. Please rate, review, subscribe, all that good stuff. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
I'm William the Opinion Updike. Appreciate you.